Amen. And please turn your phones off. All right, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I am once again diverging from our Bible study of making biblical sense of our senses. This will be the last of a diversion for a while. We'll get right back into it next Wednesday night. I have it outlined already. It's pretty much so ready to go other than a final proof copy, but we're good to go on that. But tonight, I want to kind of close out 2015 and kick off 2016. Can you believe the new year is here already? Where has it gone? Good night. And so, all right, Romans chapter 10, you follow with me. We're going to start reading at verse 14, and I'm going to read through verse 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I, again, believe that tonight it's appropriate for me to kind of close out a calendar year and start the next year with a challenge. And God has been very good to Grace Baptist Church in 2015. Let's just face it. But like everything else, there are ebbs and flows in life. There's ebb and flow in families, ebb and flow in finances, ebb and flow in church, ebb and flow with friends. And but in spite of all the ebbing and flowing, God's been good. 51 out of 52 weeks this year, God gave us visitors. We have seen over 400 people get saved because of Grace Baptist Church this year. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know this. In the Bible, it says that daily we're saved such as should be saved. There's 365 days, and we had over 400 people saved. That means we averaged over one person saved every day again for 2015. And I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about the amount of people we were able to help and the people that will be yet out there. But 2016 seems to be, in my opinion, going to be a pivotal year for Grace Baptist Church. We're going forward with purchasing land and putting a building up this year, getting out of this rented monstrosity and having our own building. You're all excited. I'm scared to death. All right. And I'm just going to tell you, you say why? Cause there's a lot on me on this one. And, but it's the wise thing to do, not just financially, but, it's going to help us be able to grow, reach more people, hold more people. We live in such a society that a lot of people don't want to come to a church that's in a warehouse. It just doesn't look like a church. As soon as it looks like a church, we'll go there. Say, people shouldn't be that way. Well, that's what they are. I've helped churches in many, many, many different states, and they've been in our situation. And as soon as they put a building up that looks like a church building, their church just starts going, shoom. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is, and it will happen. Now, let me say this, we're going to face opposition this year. Say why? Because anything moving creates friction, and friction creates heat, and heat means there's opposition. And when you have a soul-winning church, when you have a church that's interested in helping people, when you have a church that stands on the King James Bible, and that's it, you're going to face some friction. And you, by the way, we faced it in 2015 and 2014 and 2013, and we're going to face it till Jesus comes. That's nothing new to us. And who knows, maybe 2016 will be the year Jesus comes back. I don't know about you, but that would be fun, wouldn't it? I was hoping it would happen this year. I told the Lord, if he hurries up, I don't have to raise a bunch of money. He hasn't seemed to see that through yet. So here we go. But, and I like saying it this way. I believe this with all my heart. I don't say it as much as I once did, but I kind of, though I have the title pastor, look at myself as God's assistant pastor. I was an assistant pastor for almost 23 years. I understand that. And God pastors this church, not me, though I hold that title officially. But God and I, he as pastor, me as assistant pastor, I feel like I need to lay out a plan for 2016 for our church. It's not going to be complicated, but I believe it's something that we all have to be a part of. Now, let me say this before I go any farther. Our enemy is the devil. Our enemy is not another church. Our enemy's not a religion. Our enemy's not in a race of people. Our enemy is the stinking devil. Period. I don't compete with other churches. I don't try to even pretend that. And by the way, I don't try to compare our church with any other church in the world. I really don't. My son was texting me just before I came out here. He's got 6 visitors in his little country church. Usually on a Wednesday night, they run 12 people. Well, he's got 6 visitors before church started tonight. He could have a record high attendance on a Wednesday night, and he wasn't even there all week. He said, "Dad, this is fun." I said, "Yeah, enjoy it now." The fun's over after a while, son. But I'm happy for him. You say, "Well, we don't have 6 visitors tonight." Okay, but let's quit comparing ourselves with somebody else. I'm not worried about that. Our main job is to reach this area. Now, listen to this very carefully. Then, as we reach this area, we reach more people in this area. We are then able to reach out and reach a farther area. We're also able financially to help churches in other parts of the world. That's called missions. It's called helping other churches, like we've done some in our area, in our state. That's what Acts 1:8, that's what Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 are all about, the Great Commission. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. But I hate to tell you, if our Jerusalem does not get reached, we can't do the rest of that. Everybody see that? So we have to work as hard as we can. I'm going to say something. Some of you may have never heard a preacher say this. I believe in giving to missions. But I don't believe in giving to missions if you're going to sit there and do nothing in your own church. Now, it's better than doing nothing, but you're supposed to reach somebody, bring them to church yourself in your area, not pay somebody else to do your soul winning for you. Okay? That was free, just so you know. Now, let me ask you a question. How are your feet? How are your feet? See, Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You see, God talks about the feet of those who take the gospel to other people. That word preach is not doing what I'm doing right now only. It literally is meaning giving the gospel to people as you go. It's soul winning. So let me ask you a question. How are your feet? Now, I don't know about you, feet are not the most comely part of a person's anatomy, all right? I don't think people have beautiful feet. Feet are kind of ugly, especially men's feet, you know? Gnarly, long, got fuzz on the end of their toes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Usually they don't smell real good. One of my children has a foot fetish. They don't want other people's feet near them. You put a foot near that one and they go crazy. And I'm not pointing any fingers, or you can ask for yourself, but I am not saying who or what, all right? And it could be any number of 3, all right? Now, I do know this. According to Ephesians 5, yeah, I wish you could see some of the looks on your faces right now. Y'all are just laughing. Makes me laugh. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." That's part of the armor for the Christian. And I want you to notice the Bible says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God tells us that we are to have the gospel, it's an interesting word, shod to our feet. That is a blacksmithing term. Those of you that have horses, when you get horseshoes put onto a horse, they are called shoeing, or they'll shod a horse. They are taking a metal shoe, usually, and they're nailing it to the hoof of that horse. And they are binding it to that horse so that horse's foot is then more protected out on the surface in different places that it would go, less apt to have hoof troubles. And you don't understand, a 12, 14, 1,600-pound animal, if it gets a sore foot and it lays down too long, it'll die of pneumonia. So they got to keep their feet in good shape. And by the way, it's a very good thing for a human being to keep their feet in good shape. You know, you can hurt everywhere, but if your feet hurt, you don't get along very well. What's that stuff when you get too much protein and your feet get real bad? What do they call that? Gout. That's it. Galloping gout. People that have gout. Did you ever see somebody that had gout and they could hardly walk because their feet hurt just so bad? And they've got to take care of themselves. Now, God says that we are to have the gospel shod to our feet. That means this: everywhere we go, we ought to be willing to give the gospel and invite people to church everywhere we go. That is literally what the Bible's talking about. Let me give you an illustration. Yesterday afternoon, I had a couple of hours, and I went out to my tree stand. There's a three-day gun hunt in West Virginia, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week, doe only. And I still have a couple doe stamps left, so I went out, sat in my tree stand. I haven't been out in weeks. Honestly, wasn't sure I was even going to go out, but the rain had stopped. I thought, it's not too awful bad cold out there. I'm going to try it. I went out, sat down, spent about an hour out there, looked up, 150 yards down, there sat a doe. No, there stood a doe. I said, Shazam, thank you, Lord. Pulled my gun up, pulled the trigger, and she hit the ground. And she didn't move. Well, about 100 yards up, 150 yards up this way, in the same field, was a fellow that's been hunting the same farm I hunt, and his fiance was there with him. They were sitting in a little ground blind there along the fence row. I know the farm quite well. It was about another 45 minutes till dark. I climbed out of my tree stand. I walked along the fence, walked out the gate. I walked down below where nothing in the field could see me. I walked over to him. He said, man, you don't give them a chance around here, do you? So what do you mean? He said, you've killed three deer. The moment they step in the field, they'd hit the dirt and they're done. I said, gotta fill the freezer. I said, I'm going to go back and get my truck. I said, keep hunting. I said, there's more deer in there, but they're going to come out just down below where that one came out. Just watch for them. I said, I know this farm. He's not hunted the farm before. I said, I'm going to go get my truck. I'll pull it up over here. I said, and I'll wait till dark before I go out and get mine, but be ready. There's going to be more deer come out. And he looked at me like, yeah, buddy, you just ruined it for everybody. I said, just trust me. So I walked back. I called my wife. I called a couple other folks while I was walking, got my truck, got all my junk off, got ready to haul a deer, jumped in my truck, drove up, stopped my truck. I no sooner turned my truck off, hadn't been sitting there 3 minutes, and I hear kapow, kapow. I'm waiting for the bullets to stop, amen? When the kapowing stops, then I get out. Not that my truck is going to stop one of those kapows, but you just feel a little safer. So I jumped out and I looked over there, and I'm about 100 yards away. He said, yeah, first one he has seen that he's got a shot at all season. I thought, well, he got one. So I walked over and I said, let me go out and help you drag yours. He said, oh, no, that's okay. He said, I'll just help you get yours. He said, she can help me. I said, no. I had my rope with me. I said, let's go get yours. So we went out, It was about 300-yard drag. Drug it back. Went out, drug mine back. I drove my truck down, pulled them up into the truck because I couldn't drive out on the field. It was too sloppy. And then we took care of dressing them. I took care of taking his back to the truck for him. But his fiance had forgotten something out in the field, so she's got my flashlight out there. And we're doing all the work and stuff, got it done. And ulterior motive, too, by the way. And he knows I'm a pastor. We've talked about it. He introduced me to her as a pastor. And I said, hey, man, I said, you have a good night. I said, I'm glad to know. If you need something, give me a shot. He said, my fiance's got your flashlight. Wait. I said, it's okay. Just keep it. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, why don't you give me your number? He said, I'll do better than that. I'll give you one of my cards. I reached in my truck and pulled out one of our gospel tracts and handed it to him. He said, oh, good, this has got the church information on it. I said, sure does. He said, Pastor, any pastor that can take three shots, drop three deer, and gut deer faster than anybody I've ever seen, he said, that's the kind of man I could sit under, and we're looking for a church. I said, well, you don't have to look any farther. He said, I'm going to look you up. I said, anytime, man. Can I tell you something? Even stand there with... Well, I had to wipe myself off with baby wipes because I carry baby wipes during hunting season. Amen. But standing there after hunting, I was able to invite somebody to church, talk to him about the gospel a little bit. Now, he let me get started, but it was getting shut off pretty quick. He was real nervous about her being out in the field by herself in the dark. Apparently, she's afraid of the dark. And I understood that, but he at least let me start. Can I tell you something? That's having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Even hunting, I had a New Testament in my pocket. Now, people laugh at me. Who in the world are you going to talk to with a New Testament in your pocket when you're hunting? I did last night. That one time I needed it, it was there. Isn't that what it's all about? You see, I'm going to ask every member of our church, young and old, to get your feet ready for 2016. You see, I want you prepared or shod to take the gospel everywhere you go this year. We need to have it so close that it's like having our shoes shod to our feet, strapped to our feet, ready to go. We need to be ready with our feet like an army. Did you know? In the army, they inspect your feet more than they do any other part of your body because you can't march if you got bad feet. If your feet are in bad shape, you don't march real well. See, if our feet are not ready, we're not going to be able to reach more people this year. We've got to have our feet ready. And I'm going to take just a couple minutes, give you three thoughts, and then we're going to go eat more Christmas cookies or blueberry cheesecake. One of my friends is telling me about how much weight he's lost. I told him tonight, shut up. Don't talk to me for about a month after Christmas. I said, you don't know Tammy Kistner and her cheesecake. Anyway, number one, when we stand, when we walk, or when we run, all of our weight rests on our feet. Did you know that you don't stand up without feet? Brother Ron McFarland usually is here. He's only got one leg. He got one leg cut off at the knee. He was in an accident years ago. And I hate to say it, but a couple weeks ago, he was going outside and he didn't have his crutches and didn't have the railing and slipped and fell and cracked a bone in his other leg near his foot. A one-legged guy with no foot doesn't do much. He can't hop around on a stub. I say that a little humorously, but it's true. I wonder how many Christians are in the same shape. They literally don't have a leg to stand on. Their feet are in bad shape. My mom's been in a nursing home for a month now because her leg broke and she can't put any weight on that leg. Now, she's had her feet rebuilt. She's had both of her knees rebuilt. And then 2 days after they got to Florida, her leg snapped, and she's got a 10-inch rod in that leg between the knee replacement and the ankle replacements. Say, what happens when she gets near a metal detector? It says, tilt. I mean, it's bad. You don't get her too close to a magnet. We can't get her away from them. I mean, it's just bad. Now, wait a minute. The gospel and the Bible is what the Christian is to stand on. Folks, this is your grounding. That's what you stand on. Not your personality, not your intelligence, thank the Lord, not any of those things. And I hate even saying it, it's not even the authority of the church. The church has no authority. It's the Word of God. Well, this is what my church teaches. No, it's not what the church teaches. What does the Word of God say? It is all about the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Have tracts with you everywhere you go. On the back counter, there's a little basket back there. It's about that high, and it's got a bunch of tracts. Now, some of you have enough tracts already stuffed in your car, your purse, the floorboard of your car, that you could wallpaper a room with them. All right? If you're in that shape, don't take any more. But if you need some, take some tracts. I have them in both of my vehicles. I keep them in my jacket pockets. I keep them in my New Testaments. I keep them. I'm rarely without a gospel tract. I can't say I'm never without a gospel tract, but I am rarely without one. Every time I go to a restaurant, I leave a tip. I put a tract down. Everywhere I go, I'm passing out tracts. Joe was telling me he went and saw Fred and Wally the other day. Fred got saved. That man's given out more tracts as an invalid on hospice than any human that's got two legs that can walk. I'm telling you what, everybody that comes by has a gospel tract from him. I mean, they put a ramp in at his house. The guy that built the ramp, he talked to him. He gave him a tract and said he's going to come church preacher. He said, have you called them nurses yet that I'm working on? I mean, he's working me over. I love it. Keep your tracts everywhere. Then, Brother Stoltz, come help me. You thought I was kidding. I'm not. We're going back after 52 for you. Now, our sign's a little different this year. Let's show it to them. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ooh. All right. You'll notice it looks a little different. We're not going to use people silhouettes. Say why? Well, this year we're going to do a little different. I don't really keep track of the numbers of visitors we had, but this year, instead of people, we're going to put little, I think they call them tally marks. Is that the right word? And we have 3 visitors. There'll be 3 marks there. And that whole week, we could add them up. And by the end of the year, we're going to be able to tell how many visitors, just not how many Sundays or weeks that we had visitors. We're going to be able to do both at one time. And I'm for that. You say, why? Because we're supposed to be getting the gospel out and inviting folks everywhere we go. I got to tell you a sweet story. I did not know about this, but Brother Barnes and Brother June have been soul winning in a certain area the last couple weeks. And a couple weeks ago, they led a fella to the Lord. Jimbo came in. Was it this week, Brother Jimbo? He came in Monday to do some work on the van and bus for us to get it ready for the weekend. And he said, did we have a couple fellers out soul winning certain place? We said, yeah. He said, they won one of my friends to the Lord. And boy, is he excited about it. He said, he was telling me about getting saved. And I loved Brother Jimbo's next statement. He said, then told him, time for you to get in church then. He was working him over for church. Can I tell you something? That's called having your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. June and Evan didn't know that this guy was Jimbo's friend. And Jimbo didn't know they had been there. But they had met up. The guy was all excited about getting saved and told Jimbo about getting saved. And then Jimbo found out it was somebody from our church and then invited him to church. Hey, I can't wait to see how the rest of it plays out. Amen. That's what it's all about. So we're going to do that. And you know what? I want every person in our church to make a commitment, not to me, but to God, that you'll invite one person and witness to one person every week for 52 weeks. You say, we did that last year, preacher. Yeah, look what God did. Some made the commitment, but they didn't keep it. Well, let's make it again. Let's try to keep it. Now, by the way, Jimbo Wells, he's either related to or knows everybody in Jefferson and Berkeley County. I'll promise you. That man has told more people about this church than just about anybody I know. And I'm proud of him. Now, I got to hurry. So number one, we stand, we walk, we run. When we do that, all of our weight rests on our feet. Number two, you're going to get a kick out of this one. This is kind of a play on words, but you'll like it. Cold feet makes the whole body cold. You know, you can be warm from the knees up, but if your feet get cold, you're cold. y'all know what I'm talking about? This year, for the first time in my entire life, I finally have a good pair of hunting boots. You don't understand. Sitting on the side of a tree, it's 12 degrees outside. You got snow that's 6 inches deep. You've walked through snow. Your feet have sweated. Your feet are wet. And then you sit there and you got cold air blowing on all sides of your feet and your feet start freezing. You can't get warm. I was in Indiana hunting when I lived back there. And it was one of those days it was, I think we were above zero, but it wasn't much above zero. It may have been 3, 4, 5 degrees. I sat there and froze for about 2 hours, Brother June. And I said, this is stupid. What in God's name am I doing sitting here? There ain't nothing in the world going to want to run in front of me and let me shoot it. And even if it did, I don't know if I could drag it. I'm so cold right now. I had every piece of clothing I could find on. I'm sitting in a tree going, I couldn't even feel my fingers. And I look up, and here comes a stupid deer. I almost didn't want to shoot it. I literally was going to try to thaw my hands out to hit the safety. I couldn't squeeze. I thought, well, here it goes. Pow! I'll be hanged. I hit that stupid thing. I watched it run off. I tried to get out of the tree. I was so cold. I was past hurting. I had walked 100 yards before everything started tingling. I thought, you know, when you start tingling, you're thinking, oh boy, this is really going to hurt. Oh, it was really going to hurt bad. I ended up having to drag this stupid deer over a half mile. And I was so cold. You say, well, it should have been easy. It was on snow. It wasn't easy when you can't feel anything. I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel anything. My feet were still cold. I had an hour drive to get back home. And by the time I got home, everything was warm, but my feet, and my feet were still purple. I mean, I was flat out cold. I could not get warm. You see, when your feet get cold, you just don't do much. Can I tell you something? We can't let soul winning get cold at Grace Baptist Church. We can't let it go cold. We ought not get used to seeing people get saved. You know, when somebody walks this aisle, makes public profession, we ought to get excited about it, not get cold. Two people got saved. You mean only two got saved? No, that's two people that aren't going to die and go to hell. If one person gets saved, it's worth it. If we just get the gospel out, it's worth it. See, it's up to God to bring the increase. It's our job to get the gospel out. Boy, I love that. By the way, you get a church that starts getting cold on soul winning, the attitude of the church starts freezing too. You get a cold church on soul winning, and God's presence gets cold there. It becomes more of a classroom than it does a gospel preaching church. See, we need to keep our feet warm by using them to take the gospel everywhere we go. What happens is when you're sitting there and your feet get cold, you got to move them to get the blood flowing. Can I tell you something? When you go soul winning, you get Jesus' blood flowing. It keeps everything warm. if you've never been soul winning and see somebody get saved, it's real nerve-wracking. But the first time somebody gets saved, you can't wait to get to the next door. You'll charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Say, why? Because it's just exciting. I mean, it's exciting. Now, let's not get cold feet and not do what we're supposed to do at Grace Baptist Church. Number three, and I'll be done, and I told you I'd be done early, and I'm going to keep my promise tonight, or cross my heart, brother, hope Brother Stoltz dies. Wet feet cause you to get sore and diseased feet. Wet feet cause you to get sore and diseased feet. You know, we don't need to pour water on people that are excited. Can I tell you something? If somebody's excited about going soul winning and you don't think it's appropriate, let them get excited about going soul winning. I'd rather have somebody too excited than to have somebody not excited at all. It's easier to calm somebody down than it is to jack them up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you something? You can't take the gospel to the wrong person. You can't tell the wrong person the gospel. Did you know that children can get the gospel out too? I'm going to make a statement. Did you know children can invite people to church and they come? Did you know children can pass out tracts too? And children can embarrass you in a store. Oh, I'll never forget. We were shopping one time, and it was one of the boys. You know, you teach your kids, you know, smoking's bad, drinking's bad, this, that, and the other thing. We were in the store, and this is years ago when people could still smoke in stores. I had one of the kids in the shopping cart, and my wife was doing something, and I was doing the fatherly thing and just pushing the cart and trying to keep the kid from climbing the walls. This guy walked by. He must have been 6'3", 6'4", 220, 240. I mean, just a hulk of a guy with a cigarette. One of my boys looked up at him and said, "Smoking's bad. You're going to go to hell." I thought, why couldn't you tell that to some little old granny I could outrun? You know, it's either put up or shut up at that moment. And he said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Smoking's bad." And I said, "Hold it. Don't say it again." He said, "Did he say?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "It's okay." I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." I said, and he said, "You know what, son?" And he looked at the cigarette and he put it out. He said, "You're right about it being bad. I'm not sure about the going to hell part. Well, my daddy can tell you how to miss it." There I stood trying to give the guy the gospel. I didn't initiate it. He did. We were at a restaurant one time. One of my kids looked at the waitress, and he was just a little shaver. And he said, "Are you saved?" She said, "No, but are you going to save me?" He said, "Nope, but my mom or dad will." You know, you don't have a choice at that moment. You got to do something. You know, you don't have to take her home, but you got to take him home. Kids can be a great soul winning tool if you wind them up the right way. They'll get the conversation started for you. Wait a minute. You know, I had my first convert when I was in second grade. I led Dennis Hutton to the Lord in second grade. That was an awfully long time ago. That was 40 years ago. I've seen tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people saved since. But I remember that first one. Dennis Hutton grew up to be the meanest snake in the school. He was the bully of the school. Now, I know he's going to get to heaven, but he's probably not going to enjoy it between now and then. Wait a minute. Soul winning needs to be a part of our life. Not just a part of it. On Tuesday night or Saturday morning. There's a difference in going soul winning and becoming a soul winner. Brother Hiles used to say it this way. It's a little confusing. You got to listen to it. I go soul winning some of the time, all of the time. But I go soul winning all of the time, some of the time. Let me explain that. I go soul winning all of the time. Some of the time. That's Tuesday night, Saturday morning, when we have church scheduled soul winning, or if Brother Ron and I go out, or one of the other folks and I go out at a scheduled time, that's going soul winning for a set period of time, all of that time. But I go soul winning all of the time, or some of the time, all the time. Wherever I'm out, I'm giving tracts out. I'm talking to people. I'm in the hospital going from point A to point B. See somebody, stop over there, say, I'm a preacher. Do you need help? Let me help you. Here's a gospel tract. Let me talk to you. I've talked to them in the elevators. I've stopped more conversations than you can imagine just by opening my mouth as a Baptist preacher. Say, what is that? That's going soul winning all of the time, some of the time. It's not really scheduled, but I'm not going to pass it by. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That means this. There comes a point in time in your life where giving the gospel is almost like breathing. That's when you know you've really become a soul winner. You're just ready to give it. Now, you say, well, I'm not there yet, preacher. That's okay. You'll get there. I'm not saying you got to be there today, but you can be. It can be just as natural as anything else that you do. You see, we need to warm up and heal up those who used to go out soul winning so that we can get more soul winners in the streets. There are people in this room, at one time you used to go soul winning, but it's been years since you've done it. Time to start doing it. There are people in our church, not here tonight, for whatever reason or another, that used to go soul winning. Invite them, get them out, and let's go soul winning. We are supposed to tell someone about Jesus. You say, how do we warm up and dry our feet? The heat of preaching. Did you know preaching hot sermons like I do from time to time is enough to dry people's feet out to get them to go soul winning? By the way, listen to this. I believe in soul winning myself. I do it, and I do a lot of it. I don't just tell people to do it and sit in my office drinking coffee and eating cookies. Sit in my offie. Where that came from? My daughter was dying laughing down here at me. I go soul winning. I win people to Christ. I have converts here at church. There are people in this church I personally won to Christ, baptized them, got them in church, and now they're soul winning. That's what my job as a Christian is, not my job as a pastor. By the way, I'm not the only one supposed to do that. All of us are supposed to go out and tell others about him. Everybody doing all right? Watch this. Say, well, what do we use as medication? It's called the salve of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit will help heal people? He'll help take those wounds and heal people up. It's like salve that you put on a sore that'll help heal it. It's an antibiotic ointment that'll help heal that real well. There are people that just need a friend to walk up and say, hey, I haven't been out soul winning in a long time. You haven't. How about we go and let's go out and do this? You can admit it to them. It'll be okay. Everybody doing all right? By the way, there's also physical therapy sometimes involved. Say, what is that? That's the love of friends. Do you know it's going to take friends to go out and reach other people and say, Brother Stoltz, come on, man. I know you haven't been feeling real good as a Christian, but let's go out and go help somebody. Let's go tell somebody about him, all right? You don't even have to do the talking. I'll do all the talking. Brother Stoltz and I, we've been out. We talked to a fellow that he used to work with. He said, preacher, would you go talk to him? We went to the house. He was dying of cancer, I think. Dying of cancer. I witnessed to him and his wife. We got to pray with him. Boy, they cried. We went. They knew Brother Stoltz, that's why. We went back a couple months later. Talked to him again. I really believe they're both saved. We went back a few months after that. Walked through the door. The wife was there. She said, I'm so glad you're here. And I thought, something's not quite right. We got through the door, found out the fella had died just a week or two before then. We were able to help her. Wait a minute. That came at a time, Brother Stoltz may have been discouraged. He said, preacher, would you go with me? I'm not sure what to say. Let's go. We were able to help that family because of that. I was able to help her with some of the post-death things that she didn't know about. And I was able just to give her a little advice. Say, well, she hadn't been to church yet. That's okay. My job is just to get the gospel out. God will take care of the rest. Anybody doing all right? 2015 is almost done. We can't go back and relive any of it. We can get ready for 2016. Romans 10:14 is one of the saddest verses in all scripture to me. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher. Who will not hear this year because we won't take the gospel to them? Who's not going to hear it because we don't tell them? Well, they might laugh. They might get mad. The Bible says in verse 16, but they have not obeyed the gospel. It's not our worry about them their obedience to it. We just have to get it to them. They answer to God for their obedience to it. We answer to God for getting the gospel out. That is our job. Let me ask you a question. How's your feet? How's your feet? Are they shod with the preparation of the gospel? Are you willing to take it to somebody every week this year? I'm not saying you have to show up on Tuesday night or Saturday, though it would be helpful. But may I say this? We need to tell somebody every week for the next 52 weeks about Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to prolong the invitation, but as the piano begins to play here in a moment, we'll stand to our feet. Many ought to come to this altar and make a commitment to God. You know what it is. I won't prompt you. I won't ask you about it. But I wonder, who will not hear? Let me ask you another question. Who will hear because we're willing to take it to them?